one out of the Blankman collection right there. Little Tom Petty, American Girl on Classic Hits KCIM. It's time for Sports Rewind. Wait a minute. We're missing someone.
I guess he's on the way.
Someone is not here. Don't tell me. I think I'll eventually
figure it out when he walks in.
I'll figure out who it is here shortly.
The young guy that has a hard time getting out of bed.
Yeah.
This is the third young guy in a row.
What is with the young guys in their sleep? Come on. We don't need that much sleep.
No.
You don't need sleep. We're talking about sleep here. Come on. Anyway, so we're just going to start the show without him.
Yes.
So here we go. It is KCIM Sports Rewind, a look back at the week and a look actually more ahead at some things coming up, because we got word the other day that Carol High is going to have a little reunion for the 2005 Carol girls softball team. And you and I were just doing a little reminiscing here.
Wow.
Earlier. Yeah. This was your very first year at Carol Broadcasting, right?
Yeah. Started the summer of 04. So wasn't here for the entire summer sports season. So the 05 was my first full summer sports season. And what a thrill it was to watch that Carol High softball team. I'm glad I ran into Scott Dirkoff last night at the Carol High softball game, because I got a chance to, him and I were just chatting and this got mentioned, and I'm like, I don't know anything about it. Nobody informed me of anything. And so he nicely shot me a couple of emails with some information. But, I was looking back at the roster from that year's team and just like, really? I didn't realize that they'd been on that team, that had been, you know, that some of these kids graduated that many years ago.
Yeah, the names really popped out at me the second I started looking at this. And some of them are married names now, but you remember the maiden names. Thankfully, they put those on there for us.
Yes.
But going back to that season, first of all, it started off with an amazing game for them. And I remember, as I recall, I was doing the Carol High baseball game that night, and as we got farther in the game, you kept hearing about, man, you got to know what's going on over there at the softball field. Cora Behrens is pitching a perfect game, and it was going into the sixth and seventh innings by the time I wrapped up. So, I mean, I wrapped up, packed up all the equipment, and I headed over to the softball field just to see, and you were over there trying to keep book.
Yes. Yeah, I was just over there watching, wasn't broadcasting that night, and it was amazing. And I don't know why, I always remember the young lady's name from Harlan that was also throwing a gem for them that night. But for some reason, last night I couldn't think of her name when I was talking to Scott, and it still hasn't. You know, sometimes you stop thinking about it, and it comes to you. It hasn't yet. But what a tremendous, tremendous ball game! Probably still one of the best softball games I have seen in my life was that night. And you didn't want it to end, but you wanted it to end.
Yeah.
You know, and you wanted Carol High to come out on top. But it was just amazing what those two young ladies, and especially Cora Behrens, ended up doing.
Yeah, apparently 13 perfect innings and 30 strikeouts, because both of them were that good.
Yes.
You know, and when you're talking about Carol High softball icons, Sarah Dirks comes to mind.
Yep.
You know, there's some other players too, but Cora Behrens certainly among the elite players that Carol has ever produced.
Yeah, absolutely. I would have to say that probably in my 22 years here, going on 23, that she might be the best softball player for Carol High that I've covered. Mm-hmm. And I only got to cover technically for kind of the one summer and stuff. She was just that good. And you know, both of those are school records. I can't imagine that we'll ever see anybody throw 13 perfect innings again and strike out 30 in the same game. So I think that record will stand for a long, long time.
Anybody in recent memory come close to that?
No.
I mean, that's just insane. She, by the way, school record, 29 wins that year.
Yep.
They ended their season ranked 15th. They defeated number 4 Storm Lake in 12 innings to advance to the state tournament. Cora Behrens, of course, first team All-State. That showed you the respect that she had throughout the entire state of Iowa. Again, and just so many different accolades. But look back at some of the other players. Ashley Patrick is helping to put all this together. She was on that team. Jaina Fishbach. Carla Kwan was an eighth grader. She went on to have a tremendous softball career with Carol.
Yeah, she did. Ended up playing softball at UNI for a couple of years. What an athlete that she turned out to be.
Yeah, and there's so many great names on that team. So, you know, that was kind of, you talk about glory days. that was the glory days for Carroll High.
It was, especially for girls softball. You know, Coach Schiebel, Erin Schiebel was their head coach at that time. She's over at Carlisle now and stuff. I still, when I see it, when I do a Carlisle game or something, or, you know, like I know up at State a few years ago, I was up there and they were there and I got a chance to run into her. And it's always fun getting to talk to, as everybody called her, Sheebs, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff in the day, and still fun. I told Scott Durkoff last night, I really wish that I would have known about this earlier in the year. I scheduled myself a broadcast down in Harlan tomorrow night, speaking of Harlan, or Thursday night, and that's the night they're having this event. It would have been great to have been able to broadcast that game on Thursday night and to maybe get some of the players up there and chat with them and everything. I'm still hoping that maybe I can bump into a few of the kids. I see Ashley Patrick every now and then, same with Karen Forkey, and I know that's not their married name mm-hmm. now, but you know, I get a chance to see them every now and then. Talk to Carla Quant here not that long ago and stuff, but yeah, it'd be kind of fun to see a lot of these kids again.
Mason, you'll never know the thrill of doing a baseball or softball game at the old stadium where a foul ball could come whistling at your head at any moment.
Yes.
You were right above the visitors. Was it the visitors' dugout?
The first base dugout. Yeah. Yeah.
That was insane. You had to be paying attention.
Yeah.
When a foul ball came your way.
So was there like no fence or like
nope.
They
opened up the wooden window and that's it. You were there.
You know, the windows that the wooden ones where you kind of lift them above you and hook like down at Coon Rapids.
Yeah,
and you were right above the first base dugout, so foul balls would come frequently flying in. And
so you just have to dodge them?
Well, yeah, either that or catch them.
I wasn't wearing a glove, so I wasn't about to catch them.
So
it was like just dive out of the way whenever you had that. But now you got this great, nice little air-conditioned press box and all that there. So
I will tell you that one of the things I probably missed the most from that old setup was that after a couple of years of being here, I worked out a thing with, you know, the assistant softball coaches that would coach first base. And once or twice a game, I would drop a headset down to them as they were going over to coach. So instead of going mm-hmm. to a commercial break in between a half an inning, we would talk with one of the home coaches about their thoughts on the game and kind of the way the game was playing out. As the game was going on, you had that opportunity to hear from the coaches.
Well, they do that now in Major League Baseball, so you were ahead of your time.
a little bit, yeah. We need to figure out a wireless mic. The only thing is now when I ask coaches about that, they're always like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
They don't want to leave the mic accidentally on while they're down in the dugout and not on the air.
I when I did my podcast with Eric Nagel, it was famously very vocal in the coach's box when he's up there coaching for football and things like that. And I was kind of joking with him at one point. I said, we should just mic you guys up. And he goes, oh, no. Nobody wants to hear that. But that's fun. 2005, man, you look back and just the memories that brings back.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. What a fun team. And I'm glad that they're getting that opportunity to get together, you know, and I would imagine that, you know, there's 5 years difference between the seniors and the eighth graders. So this might be the first time that a lot of these kids maybe mm-hmm. have seen each other since that senior group graduated.
Well, think about that. Since those 20 years, I mean, softball has really shifted towards Des Moines Metro.
It has.
They got the better equipment, the training facilities they can use year round.
Yep.
Softball was just a sport that they played in the summertime, you know, that time around here anyway. I'm not sure a lot of the girls, maybe Cora Behrens, pitched quite a bit in some of those leagues. But, otherwise it was a lot of four-sport athletes for these girls that were out playing there.
Yeah, and, you know, as you said, now you get it where, you know, it's the travel stuff and the AAU stuff has really kind of taken over the youth, and there was some of that back then, but nothing like you're seeing mm-hmm. today. But and that's what tells you how good this group was. You mentioned four-sport stars. You know, I can remember a lot of these kids and all the different sports that they played and everything, especially the younger ones that I was able to kind of follow throughout their entire careers. And those were the glory days. Those were the fun days, yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. If you want to relive them, Thursday night against South Central Calhoun here at the softball field. So we hope we get some clear skies that night for that reunion.
And hopefully we have a big crowd to go out and honor that great group of young ladies.
All right, so let's talk about realignment once again for the Rolling Valley Conference. We were trying to line up Corey McCarville to come on and talk about the vote last night from the IKM Manning School Board about leaving the WIC and joining the Rolling Valley. So, Jeff, you've got the results for us.
Yeah, they did vote 6-0 last night. We tried to reach out to Corey this morning and haven't been able to hear back from him yet. So hopefully at some point today, maybe I can catch up with him and get an interview done, and I'll post that out on our website and all that stuff and everything. But I kept hearing that in a way it was not like they were like, oh, if you guys go, we go with it. But you kept hearing that if Audubon went, that Ikam Manning would go, or if Ikam Manning went, that Audubon would go. And part of that reason was because they're each other's two closest opponents. It's a friendly rivalry. There's a lot of people that really get along, and they share a lot of things together and stuff. So wasn't totally surprised, but I will say, and even Mason said that he heard it some, that after Audubon's vote, you started hearing some rumors, especially with the WIC inviting the Red Oaks and the Clarindas and some of the schools that they were, that maybe Ikam Manning was not going to be moving and stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of the whispers you heard, but now after the vote, I mean, it makes the most logistical sense when you look at it. I mean, Ikam Manning has to drive, what, 15 minutes to Vail and Westside? You got to drive a couple minutes over to Audubon, then you drive to Coon, Glidden. You're just kind of in this area now where you're not going to be driving 2 hours one direction or an hour this direction, and you're just able to play a lot of these closer games. And I talked to Jeremy Nielsen yesterday about baseball, and I said, hey, if you guys move, how are you going to go about the scheduling? He goes, I mean, it's not like it's completely off the table to still schedule some of those better WIC teams in baseball and in all these other sports. So, I mean, they're still open to the possibilities of that, but I think it makes the most sense regional-wise as well as kind of opponent-wise, because Ikam Manning isn't getting much bigger, but a lot of the schools in the WIC are now 2A and getting a little bigger from some of these other places that are kind of drifting that direction.
The interesting thing for me will be as if the Hawkeye 10 ends up, they've now said that they're going to try and keep Shenandoah and Red Oak in the league, and they've also offered an invite to Underwood and Trainer, which are probably the two teams that are getting bigger and kind of dominating the WIC right now. So if you pull those two teams out of the WIC into the Hawkeye 10, one, what happens to the WIC? And two, you wonder then if Audubon and Ikam Manning will not have wanted to go, because those are the two teams that are kind of dominating. I get there is some frustration, and it's from both of the communities, Audubon and Ikam Manning, that, that they don't feel like the move's going to challenge them, that they don't feel like that the Rolling Valley is as tough as the WIC, and that they're maybe running a little bit from, those better programs and stuff. But as, Mason said, you think about it, it doesn't mean that you can't schedule those top teams out of the WIC in your non-conference schedule and still challenge you. We hear the same thing with Carroll High, is we don't want to leave the Raccoon River Conference because it provides such good competition, and that's kind of what some of the parents and what some of the people were saying in both the Ikam Manning and Audubon School District. So we'll see how they work their schedules out and how they still continue to try and get themselves some of those top games. And not that they didn't say that there's not top teams in the Rolling Valley. Everybody knows that there are. But, when you look at what the WIC's done, the WIC almost has a winning record against the Hawkeye 10 in a lot of sports anymore when those seasons come to an end. So the WIC has really come on strong here in the last five years or so.
And that's a lot to Trainer and St. Albert, or and not under, St. Albert,
Underwood and stuff. Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah.
Tri-Center, another one of those that's kind of starting to see that feed over from the Omaha Council Bluffs area, and Tri-Center Athletics has really taken off in the last 5 years.
It's really interesting when you talked about the Hawkeye 10 trying to add the Trainers and Underwoods and things like that. Boy, that moves the Hawkeye 10 definitely to that southwest area.
It does.
Instead of like the Denison, Harlan, and Kemper and some of that, and Atlantic over here. Now they're kind of the outlier schools
in
all of that. But it makes sense for the Hawkeye 10.
It does.
Advance now. Or see your teams picked off.
It'll be the interesting thing for me is that Trainer actually, asked to join the Hawkeye 10 within the last 5 years. Was going to be approved from everything I understood, and then at the last minute kind of backed out and said, no, we don't want to leave the WIC. And everybody has their own thoughts on the reason why. So it'll be interesting now if Traynor decides to actually make that move and go, you know, Underwood, I imagine.
Is that the key? Is Traynor the key to all of it?
I think Traynor could be your Underwood. Underwood's kind of become almost probably better than Traynor in a lot of the different sports in the WIC right now, and they've been on a roll. And as I mentioned, Tri-Center, you know, 10 years ago, Tri-Center was middle of the pack in the WIC, and now in a lot of the sports, Tri-Center's right up there with Underwood and Traynor. So it'll be interesting. Like I said, it'll be interesting to see. I think this time Traynor goes and stuff, but it'll be
interesting. You think they go to the Hawkeye 10?
I think they end up going. I do. You're going to be going to probably a little bit of a larger conference. You're getting bigger, so you know, you're probably going to want to end up challenging yourself just a little bit more. And I think it's a huge get if you're the Hawkeye 10 to be able to get Traynor and Underwood into your league.
So let me throw this scenario out at you. Deal with this. Traynor and Underwood move to the Hawkeye 10, but Red Oak, Clarinda go to the WIC. That'd be a great swap for the Hawkeye 10.
It would be a great swap. But, yeah, I was surprised in a way that the Hawkeye 10 come out and said that they want to keep Shenandoah and Red Oak. I was absolutely shocked at that. Because everything I've been hearing for a long time is that, you know, those schools were ones that everybody in the Hawkeye 10 would be okay moving to a different conference, and then they would, you know, add some other schools in their place. But now I think a lot of it is conferences – kind of like we're seeing in college sports, you don't want to lose anybody, because if you start losing somebody, then all of a sudden your future, you know, is maybe in jeopardy. And I think that's you saw the Rolling Valley take that, you know, precaution of, we've lost West Harrison. There's some other schools in the conference that we're not for sure how many more years they have, because there's some really small schools in there. So we can't get under that 6-7 threshold. You know, we've got to stay above 8, so let's go get somebody. And the Hawkeye 10 may be looking to do that as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, the loser's not going to lose money. You know, that's the
right
in college.
Yep.
It's just logistics, the travel time for your kids and all of that. Mm-hmm. I can't see a problem with IKM Manning only wanting, like I said, Mason, only going, you know, 15-20 minute bus trips. That's ideal.
Yeah, and I mean, from what I heard also.
And by the way, the gates are going to be huge for those games.
Yes.
I mean, everybody will travel to those.
Yep.
Yeah. And from what I heard, too, is that the Rolling Valley was still being proactive with IKM Manning kind of on the fence. There's, from what I heard, is that AHSTW would have been the next team in line after them. Is that if IKM Manning wouldn't have taken the opportunity, AHS was going to try and get into the Rolling Valley as well. And I wouldn't be surprised if they still try to get in, too. I mean, you get a conference of those teams that are kind of in this area and decent programs, with West Harrison going down, like you said, and maybe a couple more teams possibly not being around in the future. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they stay proactive. And for the Hawkeye 10, I think it's just a matter of time before you see those invites go out and you see them try to be proactive as well, because you don't want to lose. Obviously, you don't want to lose a couple teams without filling somebody in their place.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting if Underwood and Traynor go, do the rest of the teams from the WIC, you just mentioned AHST of Oka Walnut would have been the next invite, do some of those schools then reach out to the Rolling Valley and say, hey, you know, we'd like to join? And then does the Rolling Valley become a conference of maybe 14, 15, 16 type of teams?
I was going to say, at what point is a conference too big?
I would think you get above that. I think the Western Valley Conference had that issue years ago.
Do you break up into divisions at that point?
Yeah, and that's what you would have to do. If you remember when IKM Manning and Loma and those schools were, and Arweva was in the old Western Valley Conference with OABCIG and Maple Valley and Westwood and all of those, they had a South Division and a North Division, and I think that's what you would have to see if the Rolling Valley would potentially, and I'm not saying that those remaining WIC schools, if you lose, you know, if you lose Underwood and Traynor, what do? I'm not saying they don't go out and try and invite somebody and stave off elimination, but you'd have lost four schools in, you know, maybe a calendar year type of a deal. You know, do the remaining schools try to move into different conferences, or what happens there?
So eventually, do you see maybe a super conference between the WIC and the Rolling Valley,
where it's
those divisional things? You please stick with your division most of the time, but you play those other schools.
Yeah.
I could see how that could work.
Absolutely.
And that would be fun.
It would be fun. It would be fun. Yeah. So I just think that the merry-go-round of what's happening with conferences is not over yet. I could see this lasting all the way through maybe next summer before we finally find where everybody's going to land. But if you think about it, it seems like about every 5 years, even at the high school mm-hmm. level, that we're having schools changing conferences. And it's not quite as, you know, it's not the same kind of news stories because it's not about money. But and it's not just here, but all around the state about every 5 years, because there's other conferences in Eastern Iowa right now that are undergoing teams changing conferences and everything else.
Well, you think of the Raccoon River Conference. They've lost some teams. Perry's out, you know. And yep. When's Van Meter going to come in? You know, it's tempting.
I'm hearing rumors within the next 5 years that yeah. they're probably going to try to get in. I've heard for years that Nevada has wanted back into the conference. Them and Seidel left at the same time. I think Perry's going to probably be perfectly happy where they're at. You know, you've heard those rumors, how true they are or not. You don't know, but those are the rumors that have been out mm-hmm. there, that Nevada and Van Meter and some of those other schools would love to get into the, you know, the Raccoon River Conference. And again, I don't want to call out poor Carroll. You feel for them. It's funny because I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day that officiates an umpire's baseball, and he's like, yeah, I was doing a Carlisle game the other day, and they were just complaining, you know, about Carroll. And I says, well, what were their complaints about Carroll? And he's like, well, everybody in the Raccoon River Conference hates to have to make that drive. And I'm like, well, think about it. They drive once per season yeah. over here. Carroll High has to drive that way every single road trip. I'm like, quit whining the rest of the teams in the yeah. conference, because you only have to do it once a year. Carroll's the one that has to travel. But you got to wonder, I mean, you hate to put it this way, but if a Nevada and a Van Meter eventually get into the league, you know, what are the
odds that Carroll jumps to the Hawkeye 10?
Right, yeah, or somewhere, because what's Carroll's future in the Raccoon if you keep getting more schools that are based around the Des Moines metro area into that league? Mm-hmm. Is that league going to continue to want to drive over here to West Central Iowa? That'll be the intriguing thing. Carroll may not have a choice. The Raccoon may say, go find somebody else.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that would happen, because they were such an integral part
yeah.
of that conference for so long.
For so long. Yeah. Absolutely.
So it's KCIM Sports Rewind. We've talked enough about that. We're going to put that in the rearview mirror, because Ikam Manning is now going to be joining the Rolling Valley, but not until the, 27-28?
26-27 season.
It's next year.
Yeah. So, well, let me double check that. We can take a break, and then I'll make sure that I've got that correct.
All right. We're taking a break. We're back in 30 on KCIM Sports Rewind.
For hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
It's KCIM Sports Rewind. Did we get an answer on that question?
We did. Ikam Manning is going into the Rolling Valley in the 26-27 season, which will be a season before Audubon jumps into the league.
Interesting. Yeah. That's how they made that happen right away. So.
Yeah.
All right, you ready for your trivia question this week?
Sure.
NBA Finals. Boy, poor Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah.
Man, that dude was just incredible during the playoffs, but yep. Achilles is going to keep him out all of next year, much like Jason Tatum of the Celtics and things. NBA Finals ratings, what do you think?
Not good, because you had two small markets that nobody in the large metro areas cares about.
Mason, what do you think?
I think it's about the same way.
Yeah, it was. It was horrible. The Game 7 averaged 16 million viewers, making it the most watched finals game since 2019, but the series as a whole drew only about 10 million per game, and that's the least watched since 2007.
And for all you people out there that are hating on the NBA and stuff, if you don't realize that attendance and TV ratings during the regular season and all of the early rounds of the playoffs were an all-time high this year. So the mm-hmm. NBA is not going anywhere. It's just you had two small market teams in the finals. That's yeah. the reason why the TV ratings were not
Lakers,
good.
No Celtics, yep. no Knicks, no Sixers, no things like that. So
you bring up Tyrese Halliburton. I wanted to... When are we going to realize that all of these calf injuries, if we keep playing on them, eventually turn yeah. into Achilles? It has continued and continued to happen. I'm not saying you can't play, but there's got to be a connection to bad calf problems playing through it that you eventually tear the Achilles, because it seems like everybody that's battling calf injuries eventually tears those Achilles if they keep playing.
Yeah, it is a very odd coincidence if there's no correlation between the two.
Yep.
So the trivia question I got for you, for the first time in NBA history, the league produced seven different champions in a seven-year span. So one of them is the Thunder.
Right.
How many of the other previous six NBA champions can you name?
Oh, Nuggets.
The Nuggets.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mason.
So Nuggets, Celtics.
Celtics is another one. Two.
The Warriors were there.
Three.
The Raptors were 2019.
Four.
Cavs.
2018 would have been.
No, we're not going back 2018.
2018, we would have been 2020. Would have been the Lakers.
Right. And we're missing one.
Cavs.
2021. No, not.
21.
No. Cavaliers.
So it would have been Warriors, Raptors, Celtics, Lakers, Bucks.
There you go.
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah. Giannis.
Yep.
His only NBA championship, and that happened about 5 years ago.
The Cavs was more than
16.
Really? That was more than seven? Wow, that...
So 7 years, seven different champions.
Right.
I mean, you got to give it up to the NBA for that, but I'm just still not a huge fan of, we'll run down the court and just chuck up a three. And that seems to be what it is to me. I just like the college game a lot more.
Right. I agree. The only thing I will say to that, and I have this discussion with a lot of people around here that don't like the NBA. They're like, oh, you got to post up and throw the ball inside. It's hard to defend. And I'm like, you put a bunch of athletes out on the court. You spread the court. You make the defense spread out. You dribble and you pass, and you have good ball movement. I tell you what, that's tougher to defend than throwing the ball into some guy down in the post and you set a screen on the other side. Not saying the old school of basketball wasn't a good, but don't tell me that putting a bunch of guys that can handle the ball and can all shoot and spreading the court out is not creating havoc for defenses.
And I don't think you can move the 3-point line anywhere and it's going to have an impact.
No, these guys are just shooting from 28 feet.
Yeah, they're already shooting.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark shooting from the logo.
From 35 feet.
Yeah.
The range that these players today have is just absolutely... I couldn't even have thrown it towards the hoop and come close from that range back when I was in school. And these guys and gals are making it look like a normal jump shot. It's amazing what they're able to do.
Yeah, I don't know what they could possibly do to change the game the way it's played now. It's just so wide open. Anyway,
yeah.
So I do love like the college game because it's not that way.
Right.
But
it's
I love the fact
that way, though.
That with NIL, one of the positive effects of NIL is that you're getting kids that are staying in college.
Yep.
They're getting to be better players, maybe not NBA players, but better college players, certainly.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, depending on how NIL goes, you're going to see players that maybe, you know, 10 years ago would have jumped that aren't going to jump because they can make as much money or a good amount of money at the college game. So
you want to go play for Orlando or someone like that, or a team at Charlotte Hornets or whatever, rather than make a couple million dollars in school?
Yeah,
no,
Duke or Houston or something of that nature. Yeah, absolutely.
And all those other teams are going to have generally, well, the NBA lottery is all messed up. So.
Right, yes.
Anyway, we got a couple more minutes here. What do we talk about? What's some of the highlights?
I do want to throw out one. He's a loyal listener and I talk to him every year when he works
down
at State Track. Yeah.
A loyal listener?
Yeah.
We got one, folks. We got one.
I do want to send out a quick apology. Dewey Quinn, they had an 80th birthday party for Dewey.
Quinn,
they had an 80th birthday party for him this past Saturday, and I didn't get there, and I really wanted to make it. Dewey's a dear friend of mine, but wanted to wish him a belated happy birthday and give him a shout-out here on the radio.
Hey, somebody bought commercial time to advertise his 80th birthday.
Did they really?
So that's what I remember.
Yeah.
It was on the air the other day.
Yeah, but it still volunteers down at the state track meet now at 80 years of age. He's still going down and standing down there in the heat or the coolness or the rain or whatever it takes and being a part of it. So thanks to Dewey for everything, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Playoffs not that far down the road. What are we looking at here?
July 5th. Not this coming Saturday, I don't think, but the Saturday after that will be into the baseball playoffs. I can't tell you what the softball playoffs are going to be because even though they'll start at about the same time, they're not expected out until Thursday of this week. So we don't know anybody's playing.
I thought you were going to say the Thursday before games start on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I honestly would not be surprised. You had asked me earlier about, you know, what people are coaches are not happy right now about it taking this long and stuff. And it's not the travel stuff and everything else. It's like we want to go scout the teams that are going to be. And if we have less than a week to try and scout who we're going to be playing. We may not even get a game or two in there. So I don't understand why it's taking so long for the Union. The baseball stuff's been out for over a week. I don't know why it's taken so long for the Union to get their pairings out.
All right, quick top five here.
Now, on with the countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, we're doing a top five. Top five trending teams heading towards the last 2 weeks of the season, baseball and softball.
Well, last night, Coon Rapids Verage softball picked up their first win, and they won by 10 runs in 4 innings, and I got to call that one, so I think they deserve at least
nicely done, Coon Rapids Verage.
Yeah, Coon, and that was softball, correct?
Yeah, softball.
Yep.
That was a pretty clean game from them.
I'd say Kemper Baseball because they took down CRB the other
Kemper
night.
Kemper Baseball, and they won two games in the same day against two different opponents and beat what many people probably thought was the best team and still could be the best baseball team in our area in Coon Rapids Baird, and went down there and kind of took care of them. So I'd throw Kemper Baseball in there. I like what Audubon Baseball has been doing. They started the year, 0-9, and now they're like 5-11 or 5-12 or something. So
So
they did win their season opener and then dropped 9 in a row. But they've been playing better ball.
They held with that Loma team for a while, and Loma's sitting at the top of the wicket like 13-4.
Yeah,
I think that they're probably up there.
Two more.
Glenn Ralston softball, you got to throw them in there because they've probably been our most consistent softball team this season. And, man, do they hit the ball extremely well, extremely well.
Yeah, and they can move around the bags. But they're very youthful, too.
A lot of eighth graders,
and they're going to be around for a while.
Yep.
And
need one more. I'll let you have it.
I'll let me have it.
That's what he gets for walking in like after the show, right?
I don't know. I mean, there's teams that are in there, and I mean, you obviously have to think trending towards the playoffs. Obviously, Coon Rapids suffered that loss, but they're probably still one of our better programs when it comes to that. But trending-wise, I couldn't tell you who's the best of the best trending-wise.
Do you want to go with Coon? Because they suffered a loss, but they were still like 4-5, 5-1 during the week or something.
They're
like
5-1. They've only had 3 losses this year, and I mean they get a bye in the first
week.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that is KCIM Sports Rewind for this week. Again, we'll be back next Tuesday morning, 9:30, right here on KCIM.